Grace to you and peace from God, our Heavenly Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation this evening is from our Old Testament reading from Joel chapter 2. Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. This is our text. Don't you just really enjoy getting all dressed up and going out for a night on the town? I mean, there's just something about a special occasion where you put on your very best and go out and celebrate. Whether it be Valentine's Day that happens to fall on Ash Wednesday, or whether it be your anniversary or some other wonderful occasion, there's just something about getting dressed up and going out to celebrate. And you know, it is no accident that there is one clothing store after another in the malls and all the shops that offer one style after another of garments. These stores and these shops are scattered throughout all of our towns and cities. Think about it for a minute. Can you imagine if there was just one clothing store that only sold one style of clothing intended for everybody? That obviously would cause a rebellion. How could we express our individuality? How could we strut our stuff? How could we survive without our glad rags and pretty coverings? Pretty coverings. What are we trying to cover up? Coverings may be beautiful, but what lurks underneath? The easy answer is that we're covering up our nakedness because we're modest and proper. But there's more to it than that. In the scriptures, coverings, garments, clothing that cover nakedness are in reality covering our shame. We see Adam and Eve eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil in the garden, and they suddenly realize their nakedness, and suddenly they know their sin. And because of that knowledge, they are ashamed. And so they sew together fig leaves because they don't want the Lord God to see their shame, lest he would discover their sin when he walks through the garden. Of course, it didn't work. No garment could conceal the truth. No garment could conceal their shame and guilt and nakedness. And so we wear our beautiful clothes to hide our nakedness. We believe we can deceive God and he won't take note of our shame. We want to be responsible and cover up our sin, but it does not work. Our man-made garments are really nothing more than filthy rags. And what they attempt to cover is even worse. Our hearts are filled with sin and shame. And if the desires of our hearts were laid bare for all to see, we would be absolutely ashamed. Evil thoughts, sexual desires, selfish wants, impure motives, jealousy, anger, envy, drunkenness, strife, idolatry. Do I need to go on? I mean, that's the condition of our hearts. That's what our inner being is trying to hide, to try to cover up with our man-made clothing. And if we're not able, we are not capable of hiding the truth from God. We might fool those around us, and those around us might be able to fool us. But the Lord God totally sees the real condition of our hearts. From dust we came, and to dust we shall return. Man is born into this world a sinner, and his journey is back to the ground, back to dust. In all of our attempts to cover up our sin, every effort to pay up always results in the same destination. It results in dust. Born to die, we are dust, and to dust we shall return. It is into a sorry state of affairs that the prophet Joel speaks in our Old Testament lesson for today. The people of Israel have wandered away from their God. They have been unfaithful to God in their word and thought, word, and deed. And they have sought other gods, and they've played the harlot. And so the Lord plans on turning them over to disaster. They will be oppressed. They will be downtrodden. They will suffer want, and they will weep in their disaster. And because of all of this, Joel cries out, "Rend your hearts and not your garments." You see, the Old Testament tradition was to express your terrible anxiety, to express your distress by literally tearing your garments and therefore revealing the state of your sorrow. But Joel knows. He knows that rending your garments will only reveal the problem, a corrupt and sinful heart. A torn garment shows the problem, whereas a torn heart begins to heal the problem. So rend your hearts, not your garments. Put on sackcloth and ashes. Repent, return to the Lord. King David says in Psalm 51, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." So repent. Return to the Lord. And yes, it is a journey, a Lenten journey, a return from exile. Our sin has so far separated us from our God. Sin is the dividing wall of hostility that destroys the relationship between God and man. And our sin has exiled us from the presence of God. He has seen our sin. He has seen our shame. And that sin and shame have exiled us from the presence of God. Return to the Lord with repentant hearts. Put on sackcloth and ashes. Repent. And so we have gathered here to this day to literally put on ashes, to repent of our sins. We know our sin. Our sin is always before us. We know the sorry condition of our blackened hearts. We know that we, of our own strength and power, we can't return to our sin-stained exile. We know we can't return to the presence of our God. Our ashes on us, remind us of our sin. They remind us of the conditions of our hearts. But ashes, in the sign of the cross, remind us of a gracious and merciful God. Let me say that again. Ashes on their own remind us of our sin, but ashes in the sign of a cross remind us of a gracious and merciful God. We who are helpless and hopeless sinners are told, return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. That's our God. We who can do nothing have a God who has already willingly done everything. So our ashes show our sin, yes, but ashes in the sign of the cross show us the true nature of God. Take a look at this cross. Take a good look at this cross. Understand, it is an instrument of torture and death. But it is also the means by which God cleansed our hearts and exchanged our garments. The cross is the place where Jesus is raised up in our place. And the cross, the place where Jesus was literally stripped of his robe and all of our sin is revealed as he hangs naked in our stead. For he who knew no sin became sin for us. We attempt to cover our sin, but Jesus reveals it so that it might be washed away by his blood. And surely he has bore our grief and carried our sorrow. Ashes in the sign of the cross. A gracious and merciful God has offered up his only begotten Son so that sin that has exiled us from his presence might be washed away and we might be restored to his presence. A return from exile, a Lenten journey. And where does the journey end? Trust me, the journey doesn't end at the grave. The journey doesn't even end at the cross. The journey doesn't really even end at the empty tomb. The journey doesn't end until the courts of heaven. And so we look at our epistle lesson today from St. John in Revelation, where he describes everyone gathered around the throne of the Lamb in his kingdom. St. John writes, after this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands and crying out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. You see that great multitude? They wave those palm branches as they worship their Savior. And notice again how he tried to emphasize that they were clothed in white robes. These are no fig leaves that they wear. They are not adorned in any filthy rags. They are clothed in white robes. Robes that have been clothed and washed white in the blood of the Lamb. Their garments of sackcloth have been exchanged for robes of righteousness. And my dear friends, this text is a preview of what is our destiny, our reality. We are all going to be dressed in white robes before God's throne, where the sackcloth and ashes will be gone forever. For Christ's journey to the cross clothes his bride, the church. It is the blood of Jesus that washes away all of sin, our sin. It is the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. The blood of Jesus washes our robes and makes them white. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and the Lamb. We have blackened, corrupted hearts, covered by fig leaves and animal hides. Such is the cause of our exile. Exiled from the presence of God, we adorn on our foreheads ashes. We come before God with repentant hearts. And yet, God is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. God provides his Son in our place. Jesus endures the cross in our stead. Blood is shed, holy and precious blood that washes away and cleanses us from all of our sin. And so our hearts are restored. In our sackcloth and ashes, they are exchanged for garments of salvation, the white robes of righteousness. And so the exile is over. The journey is finished. We are returned to the presence of our God, and we rejoice in the robes the bridegroom has provided for his bride. In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forevermore. Amen.